what we have today, this presentation addresses the methods involved in effectively working with the Native Hawaiian elderly community in the San Francisco Bay Area of California. We reintroduced ancient cultural beliefs and practices into the daily lives of our clients and patients. And while working with our clients and patients, we've discovered that most of them face severe acculturation stress, which is that regular exposure to Western and mainstream beliefs and their practices makes them feel a strong pressure to integrate themselves into a generally accepted societal norm, yet these norms conflict with the deeply held traditional beliefs. The nature of our approach to healing is to work within the traditional culture's methodology. And in working with it in this manner, we can then address how our clients can integrate their traditional beliefs into Western practices. When they don't, we get a lot of issues of non-compliance. And it's not that they're non-compliant, it's just that they don't believe in what the Western doctors are telling them, and how can they trust them? This disconnect has led to a lot of major issues. Like I said, we work with primarily the adults in the San Francisco Bay Area, California, but we also work nationwide. A huge issue is that we are dealing with Native Hawaiians who are away from their homeland. And this has actually widened the gap. So a number of critical issues relating to the Hawaiian culture and its connection with Hawaii's children living away were articulated in a 2004 study. The Office of Hawaiian Affairs said that a disconnect exists in the relationship between Native Hawaiian communities in Hawaii and the Native Hawaiian communities in the continent. The Hawaiian culture is accurately portrayed in the continental communities, and the Hawaiian culture needs to be respected, perpetuated correctly within the continental communities. The continental Hawaiian culture is centered around the halau hula, or the hula school. Unfortunately, within the hula schools throughout the continental United States and in Hawaii, only 10% of those teachers have gone through traditional practice of uniki, or traditional graduation. It's not so bad when you live back home, but when you live in the continent and your hula teacher is just a hula teacher or a dance teacher, and you're going to the halau or you're going to that school for education or re-education into your culture, it makes the disconnect that much wider. We also found that the health disparities in the Native Hawaiian communities in Hawaii are identical to those found in the continental communities. And the barriers to culturally appropriate health care are more pronounced in mainland communities than there are in Hawaii. The distrust of the Euro-Western allopathic care in Native Hawaiian communities is also identical in the continental communities. But there's a heightened level of distrust within the mainland communities, especially within the elderly patients. The Native Hawaiian continental communities are less likely to seek out culturally appropriate care than those who are living in Hawaii. In Hawaii, there's clinics all over. Here, there's not so many, and not so many that understand the unique diversities that are necessary within Native Hawaiian communities and continent. It's also important to remember that there are more Native Hawaiians living in the continental United States than there are living in Hawaii. We have about 38 to 40% of the Native Hawaiians who live in the state of Hawaii. We have 40 to 42% of the Native Hawaiians in the country living in the state of California. The remainder are scattered throughout the United States and Alaska. Alarmed at the Office of Hawaiian Affairs report, five Native Hawaiian elders from the District of Hilo, Hawaii, actually asked me, I'm the Hanai daughter and the niece of one of the elders, to create a centralized source of service and learning to support the Native Hawaiians living in the continental United States. And this request was made of me because I've lived half-time in California and half-time in Hawaii almost my entire life. I received a formal education in the continent, and as my uncle would say, I speak Haole. I come from a lineage of Native Hawaiian traditional healers, and I'm one of the last Native Hawaiian traditional healers in Hawaii and the continent to receive training from the old masters. And because of that, I'm very familiar, I know and I honor the protocols that were put in front of me, and I've made the promise and the commitment to perpetuate these traditions. I've gone through the tradition of Uniki as Kumu Lomi Lomi in 2004. So Lomi Lomi is like the touch therapies and the healing arts. I went through the tradition of Uniki as Kumu Ho'ola in 2010. And Ho'ola is a relatively new practice. It started in 1978 in Oahu, and it was to bring together all of the healing arts that were lost after contact. Because of the elders and because of the requests, we created the Holistic Kona Wellness Center. We incorporated in November of 2004. We were established as a 501c3 corporation in 2006. We were originally created as a healing arts resource and an advocate for the California Native Hawaiians, and our initial clientele were 70 to 80% of homebound elders. What we found in our homebound elders was complaints that their children and their grandchildren did not understand their personal health concerns because they approached diseases differently. The children or the grandchildren really put their faith in the Euro-Western medicines, and they thought the elders were kind of crazy. And the elders mistrusted the Euro-Western medical care because it made no sense. So this just added to the cultural disconnect within the home. And because of that, the children and the grandchildren had a different connection to Hawaii and a different perception of Hawaiians than the elders did. The elders often complained that their children and their grandchildren had lost their aloha, or they lost their Hawaiian-ness. So what we did with that was we created a series of initial programs. Our initial programs were created from what the elders said they needed and wanted. So we did a lot of education and outreach to address the acculturation stress we found in our elders. We created cultural competency and cultural health literacy programs. And we used a lot of our documentation based on the Hawaiian culture, using the writings from Emerson, Kamakaua, David Malo, and Leclerc. Leclerc was one of Captain Cook's men. So we were able to get those books translated, so we were able to see what life was like pre-contact. Through these programs, we increased our education and we increased our outreach, and we went out to serve our elders in Lomi Lomi. We helped them with their diet and exercise. We did a lot with La'au Lapa'au, our traditional medicinal plants, and we advocated for our patients everywhere we possibly could. The programs that we created were our level one, our fundamental of Hawaiian healing arts practices, is a 150 contact hour course. From that initial 150 hour course, we created a distance program of 5 CDs. And this year we initiated an OPO, or a children's program. We also created a Lomi Lomi massage program. Our level two apprenticeship program is about 3 years long, and that's where our students actually come with me to our patients' homes, and they sit down with them, and they have a lot of hands-on treatment time. And we also have a level three, our instructor program, because right now there's only me. And for me to travel and go throughout the continent to try to perpetuate our programs is kind of silly. So our level one program is built upon 5 conceptual focuses. The focuses are unique and special to a cultural base. in which the knowledge is learned and connected to the individual. We use genealogy because the genealogy is the linkage of our personal selves to our family, and the action of an individual reflects the entire family. We use history because we are unable to move out of the present if we are not clear of our own history. We use traditional practices because traditional practices of our own identity, no matter what our ethnicity, that's what separates us and between us, our culture, and other people. Language, we use language because it's the avenue of which information is retrieved from the past and the way that knowledge is understood. And we put a lot of emphasis in place of setting because there's no place of setting that is similar to one or another, and the uniqueness of one's place of setting gives a genealogical linkage and understanding to a person's action. Our Lomi Lomi massage program is strictly a massage technique is taught to us from our Hawaiian elders. It is a unique cultural-based form of neuromuscular therapy, but we also take it a step farther and we present it the way it was presented to me when I was young, and not just as a massage modality, but as a vehicle to teach concepts. And those concepts become a more powerful union between our five key areas of practice, which is ho'oponopono, talk therapies and alignment, kuleana, our responsibility, hulana, our attitude, our kupa'a, our desire and our determination, and our lokahi, our unity. Our level two apprenticeship program allows us to bring our students to greet our patients in a safe and controlled environment. They're not going to administer a treatment without proper supervision. Our students shadow actually me in treatments and in palliative care programs. We are in their homes almost every day if we need to be. And they are required to complete a minimum of 500 hours in that capacity. Through our apprenticeship program, our students are able to actively demonstrate culturally competent healthcare, or they do not progress. And the coursework is done in cultural competency, health literacy, business development, cultural trauma, and acculturation stress. Our level three teacher training program is actually a series of five-day train-the-trainer sessions, and we actually do this in Hawaii. And we do it for 3 years. It focuses on traditional medicine purely from a Hawaiian perspective, with the emphasis on learning, language, protocols, history, culture, the Hawaiian view of healing, which is a little different from what we're used to in Western, and our traditional approaches to health in both a rural and urban setting. So, how does our curriculum work? What we do is we start with the basics. So when you think of Hawaii, what do you think of? Beaches, ocean, how about volcanoes, waterfalls, landmass that continually changes, about surfing and waves and water sports. My students would say, lots of food. And of course, our beautiful sunsets. When you think of Hawaiians, what do you think of? How about hula dancers? Our ancient gods? What about our kings? Here's one. How about the people who killed Captain Cook? And we have is? Don Ho? BJ Penn. The Rock? Actually, he's not. He's Samoan. And people will tell us that our president is also Hawaiian. But what do you really know about Hawaiians in Hawaii? Did you know that there's a big difference between being Native Hawaiian and being a Native of Hawaii? Do you know that for many Hawaiians, it's offensive to use the word Hawaiian in the same way one would use the word Californian or New Yorkian, New Yorker? So we're going to make this really short because we have 5 minutes. More than 1,000 years before Columbus, a group of Polynesians set sail in a canoe with just the stars and waves to guide them on a journey a similar length of Columbus with a much smaller target, and that target is the Hawaiian Islands. Hawaii is the most geographically remote place on Earth, and it's farthest from the nearest landmass than any other island chain. The Hawaiians traveled back and forth to these islands, and over the centuries built a society that became a sovereign nation. A sovereign nation whose leaders were welcomed in the courts of London, Washington, D.C., and by the Emperor of Japan. A sovereign nation that did not have a written language before 1820, yet 20 years later, nearly 80% of the Hawaiian population was literate, and we had one of the highest literacy rates in the world at that time. It was a sovereign nation that led the world trade in sandalwood, whaling, and sugar. However, the global reach had a devastating side effect. In between 1783, when the first contact occurred, and 1890, it's estimated that 80 to 90% of the native population died from introduced diseases. With that loss of population, business interests turned to importing labor to primarily support the industry, the sugar industry, and immigrants came from China, Japan, the Philippines, Korea, Puerto Rico, and Portugal. In 1893, that same business interest, partly out of an American cultural bias against monarchies, but more importantly, to protect the business interests with the United States, overthrew the Queen. 5 years later, in 1898, the United States engaged in a war in Spain that stretched from Cuba to the Philippines. They were looking for a Pacific presence, and they annexed Hawaii. Over the next century, many of those immigrant populations followed the traditional American path, captured in the Japanese expression, kodomo no tamini, for the sake of the children. And the parents sacrificed and worked hard so their children could go to school and thrive in that new land. But for the native Hawaiians, that was their land. The loss of that land, the loss of population, and the loss of social structure, and most importantly, the loss of language and cultural traditions, led to a situation that as they entered into the next century, Native Hawaiians had the highest levels of poverty, highest rates of disease, highest rates of incarceration, and the lowest levels of participation in higher education. When they did participate in a higher education, they had the lowest levels of success. It was more than any other ethnic group nationwide. Colonization forced assimilation into Western ways and obligated the Native Hawaiians to walk in two worlds, the worlds of the West and the worlds of the ancestors. So what we do today within our programs and within our work is we take that walking in two worlds, understanding that our Native Hawaiian population is scattered throughout the continental United States, and we re-educate. We re-educate our children, we re-educate our adults. Because for indigenous cultures, we normally start our education small and we broaden over time. In Western society, we give our children the world and their education narrows over time. Through this, we've been able to create a very workable program. And that program uses modern stories, our personal experiences, and our histories. We use these histories utilizing the philosophy of Auhaiawale Oi, Kamali Io Kapo, knowing who you are, where you are you the head of the fish or the tail of the fish? Because the native populations will tell us, if you're a fish and you swim through the waters of life, your history is the head of the fish. Your future is the tail of the fish. It is your future that propels you. It is your head or your ancestors who tell you which direction to go. We also emphasize ka'upena o ke ola, which is self-identity, encouraging our students to look at their personal genealogies, their rituals, their protocols, and working on their own unique sense of place, no matter their ethnicity and no matter their background. Thank you.